Today on The Journey.
A person will compulsively engage in the activity over and over, even if they don't want to. There's something in them that can't keep from doing it. And right. I think that's a huge telltale sign right there. I don't want to do it. I know it harms me, and yet I can't keep from doing it.
What are some common threads in addictions? How do they weave a fabric that threatens to pattern every inch of your life? Well, today, Ron Moore and men's minister Tun Chilkin outline those characteristics so that you can determine if they're lacing through the warp and weft of your soul. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourages its proper use. You can get yours when you call 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest host for part two of a discussion they've titled, A Man and His Temptations, Addictions, On the Journey.
Thank you for joining us today on The Journey. We're involved in a series of broadcasts focusing on the real issues of real men. And joining me to discuss these issues is Tun Chilkin, pastor of men's ministry at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Sought-after speaker around the country, Tun was an NFL Pro Bowler, 13 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers, a year with the Green Bay Packers. Tun, let's just get right into it. Let's cut to the chase. I know I'm an addict if what?
Well, number one, I know that I'm an addict if what I'm doing to get that buzz is taking more and more and more. I know I'm an addict if I can't stay clean for 30 days. I know I'm an addict if every time I reach for whatever it is that I'm addicted to, I need a bigger jolt of that. I know that I'm an addict if whatever it is that I'm dealing with, I'm thinking about all the time.
So an addiction is when you continue to do something, you know it's harmful,
right?
But you crave it. You can't control the urge to get it because the high feeling that you're going to get is better than the crash you're going to have afterwards, because you know there's going to be a crash
right.
afterwards.
And you know that you're in it too. If you are experiencing real negative responses and you continue, if you are in a specific lifestyle, there's a number of things to be addicted to, and you start having consequences. Like if, let's say for the sake of the discussion, if you are addicted to alcohol and you have two DUIs and you have not stopped drinking, then you know that you have an addiction. If you're addicted to a drug and you get busted or you get found out and you continue, there's a pretty good chance that you're dealing with an addiction.
So you're not heeding any wake-up calls.
Right, you're just ignoring it.
Okay, so there's a lot of addictions, and we're going to go through some of these. But Tun, particularly working with men, the addiction of pornography. It's always been around.
Right.
But today, man, I hear it with younger guys more and more and more. At least if we wanted to look at pornography when we were growing up, you had to sneak around.
You had to go buy a Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, now, a couple clicks and you're there
right.
on the computer.
Yeah.
So, again, working with guys all the time, pornography is an issue.
Yeah, pornography is a huge issue. And because of things like iPhones and iPads, you can get on a porn site as quickly as you can get on any site.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found out that when you go to those sites, there's a certain kind of advertising or marketing or things that show up and keep trying to drag you in. And having an iPhone, you don't have to be at your desk to access all this stuff. You know, talk to guys that got it on their iPhones. That's why the old flip phone, I still say, is the best phone for you. You know, but it's true. There are so many ways. Remember, when we were kids, that not only did you have to get a magazine, a Playboy, but it was in a brown paper bag
yeah.
behind the counter. Now you've got magazines that are not even considered pornography that have soft porn. So we are constantly being bombarded with image after image after image after image.
So talk to the guy who, maybe he won't say he's addicted.
Right.
But he will at least admit he's looking at it a lot.
Yeah, you know, and I've done that. And let's just say this, that number one, it pollutes your mind. It puts images in your head. And so now they're locked away. It's not like you see an image and then it exits. It's in your memory banks. And so it steals from your wife, because now you are comparing your wife to this image that we've just seen on a porn site. The other thing it does, it really plays havoc with the way your body releases dopamines. And so when you get this buzz, whether it is through alcohol, drugs, or whether it's through pornography, your dopamine levels skyrocket. So now your desire for that skyrocket feeling becomes a drug in itself. And so now that erotic image is not quite enough. So now you start looking for the more erotic image, and you get into this darkness of erotica, and it pulls you deeper and deeper in. And let's face it, guys that I've talked to have struggled with the fact of what really is available to them.
So you got chemicals going off in your body. Obviously, there's a physical aspect of it, but now there's a mental aspect of it. You need to see what you saw plus. And we talked about this in a previous broadcast, but it goes back to the old sin of lust. You are looking and fixing your eyes on something you shouldn't see for sexual pleasure.
Right. And that hits you two ways. Number one, obviously, I am participating in this sin that God says is dangerous, and he lumps it with all these sins that really lead to death. I don't want to say spiritual death, obviously, because God can restore us, right. But there is this thing that's going on at that moment in time, and now not only it is sinful before God, and how does that impact my fellowship with God? After I've just looked in a porn site and men talk about using pornography. Well, obviously, the using of the pornography is followed by masturbation. Okay, so now there is this break in fellowship with God because there's this shame that comes with that. And then the other part of that is the death that it has on the way you view your wife, because now you're picturing an image. You're no longer looking at your wife as your wife. You are seeing other images in your mind. You talk to guys, and one of the hideous aspects of pornography is the way it impacts the way you look at your wife for sex. And so now you look at her differently, and you start fantasizing, and you're really not with your wife. And so guys that think that a problem with pornography can be simply solved by exiting that behavior, well, those images are still in your head, and guys need counseling to get through that. And having shared time of confession from guys, listening to their confessions, and hearing really how powerful that addiction is, I would say out of all the addictions, it is probably the most subtle in that guys don't think they're addicted to porn,
right,
until either their wives find out or people find out, and they still continue along those lines.
You mentioned death, and really it is a killing of a reality of being with your wife, because
right.
Even when you're with her in person, you're thinking of other images, there's
right.
a fantasy going on. All right, so let's back up a little bit. Some women are listening, and they're saying, man, there's a bunch of perverted guys out there.
Right.
Not my husband.
Right.
And certainly not my son. My son would never have a problem with
that. No, you know what? This sin is not reserved for just evil guys. I mean, there are a lot of guys who are struggling with this, who are guys that have a solid faith commitment. And it is a problem among kids. You know, I'm a firm believer that you put every safeguard on every one of your computers. Mm-hmm. But when you don't change the locks on your computers, when you don't keep it from coming in, it is an uphill challenge.
Yeah. Well, women listening, just take it by faith.
Yeah.
This is an issue. Pray for your husband. Pray for your sons. Do the things you need to do around your house to guard, lock, protect the computers. And just make sure as men we continue to do things. If you're involved in pornography, get some help. So pornography is one. A lot of addictions we could talk about. Let's look at one more. And then we want to go through some common characteristics
right.
of addictive behaviors.
Right.
Counselors are telling us that particularly the young marriages that are having some struggles, a lot of times the guys are addicted to video games. I was reading the other day that 30-year-olds mm-hmm. make up the biggest percentage of what's called gamers. And you think about it. I mean, these games, you can play anyone around the world.
Right.
You know, they're not the little things we had growing up. I
right.
mean, these are almost real life stuff.
We had Monopoly, and we had the backyard,
and we had
trouble.
A baseball bat.
I remember Pop-O-Matic trouble.
So you don't need kids to play these games.
Right.
Guys have to deal with these issues. So they're coming home. They're tired. They go to these games. They're playing someone internationally sometimes. And this counselor was saying that the games are destroying marriages. Now, those guys didn't start playing the games when they turned 30. They were playing them at home. And mothers and dads got to know that when you buy your five-year-old the iPhone and put Angry Birds or whatever else on there, that's becoming a part of the process of being addicted to these games and playing them and getting the buzz out of whatever buzz you get playing Angry Birds.
You know, when you told me this, it all of a sudden started making sense. I do the Steelers radio, and I work for Steelers TV, so I do a bunch of Steelers show. And so I'm with these guys a lot, and I'm at camp throughout Steelers training camp up in Latrobe for the 3.5 to 4 weeks. They're up there. Well, one of the things that jumped out at me is these guys, and they're all between 23 and 35, these guys are crazed about Madden. I mean, they have Madden football, and you would think, come on, Madden football, but that's pretty benign. But these guys will literally stay up, like, they got practice at 9 o'clock. They're going to be up at 6. They're playing to the wee hours of the morning. They're playing in between practices when, in my day, we would take naps.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying these guys are addicted with it, but the intensity and the competition and the bragging rights. And I was like going, this is crazy. These guys are really into Madden. Yeah. And you would never think, what's the harm in a little Madden football?
Right. Unlike pornography, there's nothing wrong with playing a video game unless, until it becomes an addiction. So let's start talking about some of these characteristics of addictive behavior. I'm going to read through these and just jump in at any time. Number one, the person becomes obsessed, constantly thinks of the object, the activity, the substance.
Yeah, whether it's cocaine, whether, let's say, the drug of choice. Counselors will tell you that you are always thinking about the drug. So let's talk about a crack cocaine addict. He is constantly thinking about his next high. Where is he going to buy it? How is he going to buy it? Then he uses, he becomes high. He already begins thinking about his next high from that crack cocaine. And so your life now starts revolving around your addiction. So whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol, whether it's cocaine, your job, you cannot stop thinking of it. And so a lot of counselors will tell you that that drug is like your lover, a lover that you become obsessed with.
Obsessed with the object, activity, or substance. Number two, they will seek it out or engage in the behavior even though it causes harm, physical problems, poor work or study performance, problems with friends, family, or fellow workers. You talked about the guy that got 2 or 3 DUIs and still is after the bottle. Even the harm it does, not going to slow him down.
Right, and even the danger. You'll see suburban kids that'll go into the inner city to score heroin. I mean, go into places that if you were not addicted, you wouldn't dream of going.
Yeah.
And yet they are willing to walk in to places where drive-bys and drug deals gone bad, or even the thought of being busted is still not a deterrent, or even the thought of, here's the real sadness of it, let's use heroin, because one of the things that I don't think people realize is that heroin is in our high schools. Here in Western Pennsylvania, there are numerous heroin addicts that are in their teens. You know, in our day, you and I, we come from the 60s and 70s. People were using hallucinogens. They were using amphetamines. They were using barbiturates. Marijuana was big. It wasn't as easy to get heroin back then as it is today for a high school kid. So even the fear of overdose does not deter these kids. And make no mistake about it, everyone just about in our community either knows someone who has OD'd from usually heroin or an opiate of some sort that have died from an overdose, and it might even be a friend or a family member, but someone that is in addiction is continuing, even knowing the hold that it can get on you.
The harm is going to befall them, and yet they continue to do it. Number three, a person will compulsively engage in the activity or do the activity over and over, even if they don't want to. There's something in them that can't keep from doing it. And I think that's a huge telltale sign right there. I don't want to do it. I know it harms me, and yet I can't keep from doing it.
Yeah, well, you know, having counseled guys that have struggled with an addiction, here's a crazy addiction. You know, we talked a little bit about it in one of the other episodes, is an affair a lot of times becomes an addiction. And talking to guys who want to leave the affair, and yet they can't. They're emotionally and mentally tied. And, you know, once again, let's go back to the physiological response. Your dopamines are off the charts now. Just to feel normal, you have to get this extreme buzz, or if it's a sexual addiction, you need to go in really into the depths of the darkness of erotica just to feel aroused. From a standpoint of whether it's alcohol, whether it's a different drug, pick your drug, you have to now engage in the drug just to feel normal. Mm-hmm. Because the ceiling on what makes you feel good because of your addiction has just gone off the charts in your brain. So you're struggling. And that's what happens with the addict. You are struggling just getting enough drugs to get to the point where you're feeling normal.
Number four, upon stopping, withdrawal symptoms occur: irritability, craving, restlessness, depression. We know that. Number five, a person does not appear to have control as to when, how long, or how much he or she will continue the behavior. You mowed the grass, it's hot outside, you want one beer, you end up drinking six.
Right.
You go to the store shopping, you only need a belt, you end up buying eight pair of shoes. Right. Shopping is another addiction that we haven't talked about. I know you struggle with that one in particular, but you said, no, well, I'm not going to talk about shopping. Is this something that you didn't want to admit?
You know what? All I know is if I had those new cowboy boots, I wouldn't be talking about someone else shopping.
Yeah, they are boots, but they're not new. Number six, denies problems resulting from engagement in the behavior, even though others can see the negative effects.
Right.
It goes back to the kind of the Nathan thing. Someone loves you enough to tell you, man, this is harming, and you're not willing to listen to the counsel. Hides a behavior after family or close friends have mentioned the concerns. Hides the food under the bed. Hides alcohol in the closet. Spending addictions doesn't show the credit card or bills, whatever.
Right. You know, a lot of times people will say they have a cocaine addiction, kind of an easy one to pick out. And maybe they have broken free from cocaine, but now they're drinking. One time I was talking to a counselor, and we were talking about, is it okay for that coke addict or that heroin addict to now drink? And he says, absolutely not. Addiction is addiction. And your brain cannot distinguish between a fine wine and crack cocaine. And so what'll end up happening is you won't go direct to cocaine, but you'll start drinking wine. And then when the wine's not there, you'll start looking for pills. And that's kind of a lot of times the natural progression. Or maybe I was just drinking wine and I just needed a little bit to satisfy me. Well, now I'm drinking more hard liquor. And then the next thing you know, you are back at whatever your drug of choice in addiction was. And it happens pretty rapidly.
So it's not only dealing with the substance of the addiction, it's deeper than that.
Yeah.
You got to deal with the addiction itself within you.
Yeah, a buddy of mine who runs our Celebrate Recovery, he said, I was addicted to addiction. I was addicted to everything. I was addicted to sex. I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to drugs. You name it, I was addicted to it.
Number eight, many report a blackout for a time. They were engaging in the behavior. They don't remember what they bought. They don't remember how much they lost gambling. They don't remember what they did when they were drinking. That's an obvious one. As I was doing some research on this, they don't remember how far they ran on a sore foot. I was thinking about that, Tunch, because some people are addicted to exercise.
Yes.
And you have some stories about the guys you played with,
right,
who were, and there may have been some other issues going on,
right,
but they were addicted to football and all the lifting and workouts that went along with it.
You know, I had a good buddy who played in 8 straight Pro Bowls, flew home on the red eye from Hawaii and went right down to the gym and started working out. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, and that kind of just obsessive compulsive behavior. I had another buddy of mine who I played with who was obsessed with being big. And because of that obsession, steroid use, and he was very open about his steroid use, and just the desire to train and be big. And even after he left the game, he continued in that vein. And I got to tell you something, I got to be careful about, because I haven't done any drugs or alcohol for a long, long time. Was I an addict? Maybe I was. I mean, if the definition of addict is you can't go without 30 days of being sober till I hit 25, and then really stopped drinking complete without any bit of alcohol over 12 years ago, you know, I can get obsessive about getting my walk in or get my lift in. And I jokingly say it's my drug of choice, mm-hmm. but there's some reality to that. And so I need to force myself to not work out for a couple of days. So yeah, people can't get obsessive and addicted to that as well.
I think about that a lot because I run 5 days a week.
Right.
If I miss that day, kind of throws me off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today, you know, I can't run anymore, but I'll walk anywhere from 5 to 8 or 9 miles a day. Mm-hmm. And today I did not walk. And like, I'm ready to choke you now.
you've been draggy this week.
No,
you don't. You had about 9 cups of coffee.
Yeah, I know. Well, you got me. You brought the car to high octane coffee and you said, I want to get you caffeinated up. No, but in all seriousness, I really don't feel as good mm-hmm. through the course of the day if I do miss my workout. I mean, that's if I'm being totally honest with myself, mm-hmm. I really look forward to that time.
Right. Depression is common. And the last one, low self-esteem, feeling anxious if they don't have control over the environment. Because doing drugs or any addiction, that's part of it. You're in control of that. If everything else is going to heck around you, you're at least in control of that one,
right.
one area. There.
Yeah, and it's the one thing, and here's the kind of the hideous nature of addiction is everything else in your life could be going crazy, but the buzz gives you this sense of well-being like, I'm okay. You know, I've got it. And that's one of the real tragedies.
Yeah. If you see yourself in one of these characteristics, you need to do something about it. You can't tell yourself that you're going to stop on your own. If you're addicted to something, you got to get to a counselor and you got to get the help that you need. And I encourage you to look at this website, celebraterecovery.com, celebraterecovery.com. It's a great ministry. It's Christ-based. And there's some great stuff there that will help you out. 8 principles of recovery. You can find a place in your area. You can go to it. You can get involved with the guys. You can get the accountability you need. Celebrate Recovery. We highly recommend this ministry.
Yeah, you know, one of the things is you look at recovery groups, part of the things that make them effective is being together. I guess people have broken free as the Lone Ranger, but I don't know any stories like that. The guys that have been the most successful in breaking free from the shackles of addiction have gone through a recovery program, have been with other guys, have prayed with other guys, have studied the Word with other guys, and locked arms. And to admit that you are an addict and have a problem is the start of all this. And you know what? When you realize that you're not by yourself, because it's easy to get into this, well, I'm the only one. When you realize that you're not alone, there comes encouragement with that. And there comes love and acceptance in these groups. And then comes the accountability.
You've got to get the help you need. CelebrateRecovery.com. And Tunch, next time we're going to talk about pride, which I know men don't struggle with.
Boy, that's front and center of me, buddy.
Join us next time on The Journey.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. You know, it doesn't take a long look to see how sex-saturated our culture has become. Whether in television shows and movies, on billboards, or at the mall, one thing is certain. Our society doesn't hesitate to put sexuality and sexual topics right in front of us. But where is the church in this discussion? Far too often, Christians remain uncomfortably silent about sexuality. Parents are reluctant to talk to their kids about purity. Men and women, who desperately need accountability, keep their sexual struggles to themselves. And churches often avoid these difficult issues entirely. But because God created us and created sex as part of the human experience, we must talk about this vital topic. We need to know what God has to say about it and how we can apply those truths to our lives. To that end, Ron has written a thoughtful booklet called A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here are Ron and Tunch with a look at our next time together.
We are always dependent on God. And whatever we have, He gave to us. Whatever gift we're using that may get the applause, He gave to us. And we've got to go back and say, God, it's all from You. It's all for You. It's all to You.
We hope you can join us for that discussion next time. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that The Journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.